As we enter a new era.
Couldn't stop him. He keeps going forward.
History.
And I will fight for you, for your family, and your future.
Happens here.
Isn't it nice to win?
Here. Nice to win.
This is News Talk 97.3. The Sky. The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is hour number 3 of our get together. It's 8:07. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It is a happy hump day, Trump day. Plenty going on, and we're going to continue with a lot that's going on. But first, let's talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick this morning. Good morning, Kat. Are you staying warm?
I am staying warm, though I think it might be colder in Florida than it is here in D.C. I mean, Greg did call you frigid this morning, Bob.
He did. My word. I expect that from my significant other, not from Greg. And let me ask you this right away. I don't know if you knew Chronister, the sheriff out of Hillsborough County, but he dropped out of the pick for DEA. Any comment on that?
Yeah, you know, I was actually talking with a few of my Florida delegation colleagues about it, and the thing that struck me is we're blessed in Florida. We have tremendous talent amongst our sheriffs, you know, our LEOs, our first responders, certainly. But there was something that did bother me, and that was the story that I kept hearing that through COVID, he had shut down churches. And to me, that is a very big red flag. Now, I don't know the full extent of the story, admittedly, but it is the rule and the law and the role of the highest constitutional officer in a county to uphold the Constitution. And so denying people their First Amendment right to practice their religion, that doesn't sit right with me. And I know it was starting to ebb through a lot of the concerns that others in Washington were having. So I think that it's a smart move because we're already seeing a tremendous amount of pushback for the pick that Donald Trump has made, and there's quite a big slog that we've got to get to up here. And so I think that it was probably a discussion that had happened that, hey, listen, this isn't going to go as we thought. Let's take another stab at it in a different way.
Yeah, let's not use up some political capital and time and resources, et cetera, which leads me to the next one. Pete Hegseth appears to be riding the bubble for now. I think we might have more clarity later. It's already, the Wall Street Journal had mentioned, it looks like Governor DeSantis could be the pick if Hegseth does indeed not make the grade.
You know, I don't take it lightly when the Journal publishes something because of all the media outlets out there, they are one of the better ones for sure. So they wouldn't have suggested that or put it in print had there not been some kernels of truth there. I know all of us are waking up to the news of that, and that is a surprise. I know that Pete is on the Hill today making the rounds. And from my conversations with senators, once they get the opportunity to sit down with him, they're impressed. They like the fact that he comes from a background that isn't a defense contractor. And I know that that's shocking to the establishment, but I think it's a good departure from what we have seen in the past. So I think as soon as he makes his rounds, he'll actually pick up more support. That's not to say that Governor DeSantis would not make a phenomenal Secretary of Defense, but call me a little bit selfish. I would prefer to keep him as governor for our state than to see him in that role. But I think it's just going to take the time, and it's very early. We won't have any of these hearings until January, so we still have quite a ways to go.
Yeah, sometimes when you see somebody really being hit hard, which, you know, by some of the media and some of these so-called people that know people, Hegseth, I don't know how good any of these claims are or whatever, but sometimes it's, when they push that hard, there's not a good reason. In other words, they just very much dislike him or what he might bring to the position. But we'll see how. I think we'll find out what's going to happen maybe throughout the day today. So let me ask you this. President-elect Trump basically laid it out there. I mean, he told Hamas, hey, on January 20th, when I'm sworn in, those hostages better be free or all hell is going to rain down on you. You and I both know this is a guy that will follow through when he makes a statement like that. What do you think the reaction in the end will be by the terrorists?
If there is one thing that we learned in the first Trump administration was that our enemies, they feared and respected us, just like our allies knew that they could not just respect us, but they could count on us. And Israel is our ally, and we will never waver in that commitment, no matter how many pink-haired college students who have never stepped foot outside the United States or known any uncomfort in their life want to stand up and protest. This, to me, is the red line that Obama dreamed of. When we all famously remember, he said, this is a red line, it cannot be crossed. Well, under the Obama administration, we saw where that line was erasable, movable, wiggable, everything, right? I think that, and you saw this immediately, Qatar started kicking out the Hamas members that were setting up shop and had their headquarters in their country, because people recognize that Donald Trump is not playing around, and he will rain down hell and fury for anybody that stands in his way. And in this case, they know that he's not playing around. They knew that Biden was weak. So I think that there's going to be a lot that happens in the first 30 days. I think even leading up to it, I mean, you're seeing this right now with his announcement on BRICS. You saw Trudeau actually made the trek to Florida to meet with him because of the tariff talk and how that basically freaked him out. I think that we're going to see such an incredible global realignment that it's going to send shockwaves throughout, and it's going to be the message. And if he has to, he will make an example of Hamas.
And that leads me to this. We both know that Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, they are puppets of Iran. They're the largest state sponsor of terrorism around the world. We've established that. So my concern or wonderment is, when Trump makes this kind of statement and all hell's going to break loose if they're not free, you know, I don't think he's giving that much authority or power to the terrorist. I think he's going to go to the source. What are your thoughts?
You know, it's interesting because I do think this comes back to an even more broad issue, and BRICS is a big part of that. When you think about the de-pegging of the greenback, that is money is the source for all of this, right? For all their terrorist activities, their building up of their nuclear program, all of this, right? And Russia and Brazil and the Saudis and Iran, they've all sought, in China, to operate in another currency away from the greenback. I think when you're starting to see, and we saw this under Biden, more nations coming forward and aligning with Putin and with Xi, and all of a sudden we were seeing this new, I'll call it an axis for lack of a better term. We saw this new axis being formed. I think that it's still fragile enough that those countries are going to look around and they're going to say, oh, hell no, we're not going down this path. Do you see what America is doing right now? They're going to rebuild their military. They're going to get the economy back on track. They're not here to play. They're going to start losing that momentum that they've been building. And he's going to snap those sanctions right back on and cripple the Iranian economy, which had been working had Joe Biden not stepped in and not only lifted the sanctions, but then, again, delivered a ton of cash. I think that he's going to do it in a way where he's not dealing directly with them. He is going to make them feel the pain, and the message will be sent, because it's bigger than just the relationship of Iran and the United States. This is about taking on BRICS, because if we lose the U.S. dollar as the global standard, that will have incredible detrimental consequences for the United States economy and the global economy as we know it. So I think Donald Trump is playing chess here, and this is not a single lateral move. This is going to be a 4D chess move that people won't see coming.
War ending by June of 25 between Ukraine and Russia. I say yes. What say you?
I think anything's possible.
Fair enough. And we're running out of time, so we'll hold you to that for now, because we know we're blessed to get, you know, keep in touch with you on a regular basis. So stay warm. Congresswoman Kat Kamik, we appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Stay warm, everybody. Go Gators.
You got it. Go Gators indeed. It is 8:16, and we've got a lot more to talk about. Don't forget, Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcast. You can download it. Just click on subscribe, and there you will have it all at your fingertips. Middle East UN peacekeepers, are they helping Hezbollah? I have a story related to that and a whole lot more coming your way next on 97.3 The Sky. Follow the yellow bricks road. Follow the yellow bricks road.
Yellow bricks?
Yeah, man.
Not yellow brick?
We're talking about a basket currency.
Oh.
A Trisket, a Trasket. I found a currency of basket.
I see what you're doing.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome. Thanks for supporting what we do. We appreciate it. We are the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy.
Hey.
Greg and the team.
Greg is the team.
There's that, too. It is 8:23 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It is a happy hump day, Trump day. It's been settled. The House, that is Congress, and your House of Representatives, Republicans have 220, Democrats have 215. There you go. So Republicans have, a very slight advantage there. Chad Cronister. He was he's a sheriff of Hillsborough County. He was a pick for DEA. He's out. He's done. He doesn't want it, according to him. He took his name out of there. Pete Hegseth, on the bubble, waiting in the wings. Wall Street Journal has mentioned Governor Ron DeSantis. Very, very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. We'll see that unfold, well, probably as the day itself unfolds. Let's educate ourselves a little bit here, including me. This piece is from CBS News. So, again, consider the source,
right?
Okay, as we move forward. It was back on November 30th, President-elect Trump threatened to slap a 100% tariff on a group of nine nations, the so-called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, if they try to replace the U.S. dollar with another currency. We're talking Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates. Trump said he'll enact the tariffs if the countries either move to create a new rival currency to the dollar or back an alternative currency to replace the greenback as the world's reserve medium of exchange. He said we require commitment from these countries that they will neither create a new BRICS currency nor back any other currency, etc. This comes after Trump threatened to impose a 25% tariff or tariffs on all products from Canada and Mexico, and that has to do with the immigration issue. But back to BRICS. It was named after the original five members: Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, BRICS, formed in 2009. To advance the interests of emerging economies and make them less dependent on the U.S. dollar, which is by far the most commonly used currency in global commerce. And that is important. All right. This gives the U.S. a number of advantages, including lower borrowing costs for the federal government and enormous geopolitical influence around the world. In October, Putin called for a new international payments system at a BRICS summit, saying the dollar is being used as a weapon. In 2023, Brazilian President Lula da Silva proposed creating a new common currency in South America to reduce its reliance on the dollar in international trade. Would a BRICS currency threaten the dollar? Yes. Despite the existence of the euro and growing importance of China's money currency, the dollar remains the world's main reserve currency. It represents about 58% of the world's foreign exchange reserves, according to the IMF. Critical commodities like oil and gold still bought mostly using U.S. dollars. All right, so this is a real and legitimate issue. I wonder why it doesn't get really much play in the mainstream media. I mean, I found this CBS News, but in general, I don't see this as a regular subject. I get it.
But it's important.
Part of it is the Federal Reserve effect. which is also known as the eyes glazing over effect.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that subject matter relating to it is not important. It's just saying that when you start to dig into the minutiae of some of the stuff that we don't normally deal with, we don't see how it will impact us perhaps directly, but it will. So I'm glad President-elect Trump is ready to take charge and address this and many other very important issues. It is 8:28. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. We've got a lot more to talk about, including a new name for a street in Miami-Dade. Who do you think it's named after? Yeah, I kind of gave it away. Stick around. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Go, Pam Bondi, go!
Woo!
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:34. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a happy Hump Day, Trump Day. And you've got Chad Cronister. He's a sheriff out of Hillsborough County. He's dropped out. He was a guy that arrested a pastor, basically, during the COVID thing, and because he wanted to have church service. And you know, Cronister is probably like, dude, take these people. You can't be hanging out in church here.
Mm-hmm.
Down at a liquor store with all the other people. All right? That's what you do when COVID hits.
Yeah.
Go get yourself some liquor.
You had a lot of, we were getting feedback.
He didn't say that, by the way.
Not really. That's just Bob being facetious. Look it up.
Not moi.
No. But, you know, we were getting a lot of feedback immediately when his name popped up, both from citizens who are aware of that scenario, law enforcement who were familiar, and even Dana Loesch was not a fan, apparently,
was
going off on him. So.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. That's a good thing from this perspective. Remember who the people are when these things go down, like the whole COVID thing and the whole lot. You've got to remember who is doing what. How are they handling this kind of thing?
Right.
And you must remember that in the future. In other words, the old, what I say, like, consider the source when it comes to information. This is consider the actions when the person was under what we would call stress.
Right.
In other words, how did they handle that? And is that the person that you want to be, in this case, head of the DEA? Perhaps not. Well, he's out anyway, so it doesn't matter. Pete Hegseth has gotten a lot of talk, and he would be, I guess, considered an outsider coming in for that position. But he's on the bubble already.
Yeah.
And it's because of, it's not just the allegations that were made or what other events may have taken place regarding him and some kind of sexual allegations. It's the fact that he did not openly discuss or give that information to the people who were vetting him for Trump. And that there's going to be a big rub there. So it's not just the alleged event or whatever. It's when we tell you we need to know about the skeletons.
Yep.
They don't say, we need to know if there are skeletons, because they're smarter than that. They go, we need to know about the skeletons.
Where are they?
What does the average person not know about you? But if they did just a little digging, could probably find it, because they're going to be finding it, well, probably actually while we're sitting here.
And even directly related, who's going to speak up that suddenly you're back in their mind again?
Yeah, because you all of a sudden your name is high profile, and I remember that guy. Okay. Back to our Florida attorney, former Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. I think it's a great pick. I chose her, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of the gate. But then there was a guy named Gates who kind of got in the way.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was shocked by that pick.
Yeah.
It goes to, hey, was he just being attacked unfairly like Trump has been? There's probably something to that.
But is there real baggage?
And that's the thing. Yeah. And real or perceived, sometimes that baggage can weigh you down. So, I think Pam Bondi is going to do a fantastic job. In a press release, Ashley Moody, our current Florida Attorney General, she is taking the lead, a multi-state effort to urge the U.S. Senate to confirm Bondi. And so this was Ashley Moody, our AG, 27 attorneys general, two attorneys general-elect are showcasing Bondi's track record in the Sunshine State.
Nice.
Moody put out a statement, Pam Bondi is a proven leader and fighter for justice. After her work over nearly two decades of prosecuting murderers and standing up for crime victims, she became Florida's first female attorney general and took the fight straight to the drug smugglers, human traffickers, and serial rapists. Attorney General Bondi shut down pill mills, put human traffickers behind bars, and fought to eliminate the backlog of untested sexual assault kits to bring predators to justice and some sense of closure to victims of rape. Her stellar record as an attorney general, state prosecutor, and fighter for justice has prepared her to serve as the nation's 87th U.S. attorney general. We look forward to a swift, successful confirmation. And, yeah, so let's hope that that is the case. And I think she will do a fantastic job. It would be difficult to do a worse job than Merrick Garland.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
you'd have to really try.
I mean, it's hard really to say his name and not just automatically, just impulsively, almost like reflexively go, weasel, weasel,
weasel.
And what did I say the first day I said that guy's name? I said, the only Garland I like is on a Christmas tree. Shortly thereafter, just between you and me, though,
yeah.
I thought of Judy Garland and I felt bad.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Good point.
Other than Judy Garland.
Yes.
And Christmas trees.
Yes.
I got no use for no Garland.
Not that one.
Round, sure. Yeah.
Not that one.
All right. So there's that. Senator Cynthia Loomis, a Republican out of Wyoming, expressed full support for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth after meeting with him Monday amid an onslaught of hit pieces from the establishment media. Now, this goes back to what Congresswoman Kat Kamick shared with us a little earlier this morning. If you missed it, you can always pick up the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe, and you can hear the entirety of that interview. That was at 8:05 this morning. And she said that the senators that have met so far with Pete Hegseth have really had nothing but very positive, upbeat, glowing things to say about him. But again, there's some baggage there, and he didn't let the people know who are vetting him for Trump know about that, and they do not like to be blindsided. And that's a huge understatement. All right. So, are soldiers sometimes wild childs? Yeah, that's what she said. Cynthia Loomis, a Republican out of Wyoming. Yeah, that can happen, but it's very clear that this guy is the guy who, at a time when Americans were losing confidence in their own military and our ability to project strength around the world, Pete Hegseth is the answer to that concern. Wow, so she's all in his camp.
Nice.
And that says a lot. That's important. I think it's Josh Hawley, I believe, is meeting with him this morning, if I'm not mistaken. And so, and obviously he's a very, very important voice in the Senate.
Right.
And well, I guess, maybe Trump is even waiting to kind of get some feedback from someone like him.
Because he's pretty influential. And he's like,
he's sharp.
He's on the right side of everything.
Yes.
But here's my question that I would toss out. So he says, they're still all in. Hegseth is still the guy. But you've got the list over here, kind of waiting, making headlines, being talked about. Is that a, hey, we know this may not work out, but we're putting these names in front of you now? Or will he stick to the guy depending on how it's looking like in these interviews and this whole process?
You know, it's probably a combination of things. You always have that short list. You always know that there is another one on the list, much like, you know, drafting athletes for professional careers.
Sure.
If you know, you might not get the pick you want,
right,
but you still want to make the best pick of those available.
Right.
So Yeah, are they kind of chumming the water, saying Hegseth is on his way out and we're trying to let him down gently?
Mm-hmm.
Are they testing the waters to see what the response would be when they mention Governor DeSantis's name? There's a lot going on there. But Hegseth, I would use the term, you know, he's on the bubble.
Right.
So to speak. I think that, you know, gives you an indication. And from what I can read, it appears that there is what appears to be one serious allegation, but it also appears that there can justifiably deny that there was anything, you know, forcible or anything that took place. So,
right.
You know, that's one thing. It's these other supposed eyewitnesses that are talking about him always being drunk, basically. Now, is this an effort to, let's paint a picture. Let's paint a picture of him as a womanizer and a drunk. Let's paint that picture. That's what I think the left wants to do.
Sure.
Now, how accurate that is, I have no idea. But I know in one of the cases where somebody had actually written a letter of complaint about his behavior, he said, yes, I did it. But if you publish that and I'm asked, I will deny it. So he said, yes, I wrote the letter.
Right.
But if I'm asked about this, I'll deny that I wrote it.
Wow.
So,
okay.
You're talking about allegations that are coming from people who won't stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you mean it or not? Was it real or not? Don't be afraid to stand up if it's the truth.
Right. And if it's not, sit down and be quiet.
Basically.
Yeah. Come on.
It is 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got plenty more to get to, more headlines. It's all coming your way. Right here, News Talk, 97.3, The Sky. Hey, I was in the murder business. I could go over to Lebanon and murder some people.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah, my father was in the murder business.
Oh.
That'd be a great fit.
Yeah.
8:51 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Remember the name Che Guevara, which apparently a generation of kids thought there was something romantic and cool about being a Marxist loser murderer.
Yep. They wear his t-shirts.
From Cuba, part of the revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wear his t-shirt like he's some kind of counterculture hero.
They don't really read history too much.
No, they don't. So his daughter, who's now 64, and apparently a Cuban physician, I'm sure it doesn't pay anything near what an American physician would make. However, she probably doesn't have to wait in line to get her allotment of milk.
Probably not.
Unlike most of the inhabitants of the Cuban island. Alida Guevara, daughter of the communist mass murderer Che Guevara, recently claimed that she would like to go to Lebanon and fight against Israel alongside the Shiite jihadist terrorist group Hezbollah.
Well, let's see her do that.
I mean, at least she is, you know, making the old man proud.
Yeah.
The apple doesn't fall far from the guillotine. I mean, the tree.
Mm.
Yeah. She made these assertions and remarks given the pro-Hezbollah Lebanese outlet Al Mayadeen during her attendance at an anti-fascist far-left event organized last week by Venezuela's socialist regime in Caracas.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
That whole, the people you hang with, you kind of got a reputation. Yeah. If that's who your crowd is, just saying.
Yeah. I mean, really, look around. Are you proud of the legacy your father left in that country?
Mm. Wow.
If people literally lose their lives trying to escape from. Uh-huh. I mean, does that resonate at all?
Nobody's breaking in. Just saying.
Exactly.
There's no boats from Florida. I mean, even Ellen went to Britain, you know, not even to Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah, there. It's like a parking garage, okay? Anybody could come in, theoretically, but if you try to reverse it and leave, severe tire damage may occur. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's why you always read the signs, folks. The Syrian Democratic Forces, the SDF, a U.S.-backed Syrian militia group led by Syrian Kurdish forces, said on Tuesday that its fighters clashed with Syrian government troops and took control of seven villages, potentially opening a new front against the regime of dictator Bashar Assad. Let me say his name again. Bashar Assad. Yeah, that's the same. Same Bashar Assad we've been talking about for how long? How many years has he been able to remain the quote-unquote leader in Syria when they've had civil war going on for how long? I honestly can't even keep track. I really thought that he would be gone, but no. And by the way, I'm not going to pretend like I understand exactly what's taking place in Syria. I know the old American thing, you know, the enemy of our enemy can be our friend. Yeah. And that reminds me of another thing that I was taught that probably is more powerful. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. So be careful, all-knowing strategist. You know who's behind a lot of this stuff, right? Who's running the war? Who's part of this? It's U.S.-backed in many ways. The rebels are against Assad. Yeah. You think there's some CIA spooks involved there?
Oh, you think so? Oh, yeah.
You think so? Yeah. Yeah. They'll do anything to get away from their involvement in January 6th. I'll go to Syria. Count me in.
That's bad.
Especially since Trump won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no spotlight shining over here. All right. This story is not a happy one. Israeli Defense Forces personnel on Tuesday, they've accused peacekeepers from the United Nations, their interim forces in Lebanon, UNIFIL, they call them. They are claiming, they're accusing them of ignoring ceasefire violations by Hezbollah in Lebanon. Prime Minister Netanyahu threatened to respond strongly after Hezbollah launched projectiles at an Israeli military post. Israeli officials said on Monday that Hezbollah fired on Mount Dove, an area near the combined borders of Israel, Syria, and Lebanon. Hezbollah said the shots were fired as a defensive and warning response. Really?
Okay. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're accusing UN peacekeepers of actually assisting Hezbollah. That's not good. That United Nations thing. Are we ever going to effectively address that? And what I mean by that is say, sayonara, see you later.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? We are going to talk to the Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson next on 97.3 The Sky.